Maybe you have noticed or heard on the news about the meeting in Cairo, Egypt, concerning the world's population and the increase of the population in the world at the present time. It was stated that there are now over 5 billion people in the world, and that the number increases by about 95 million each year, more than in the whole state of New Mexico at this time. And probably by the year 1998 that there will be 6 billion people in the world. And by the year 2025, the population will be about 8.5 billion people. And maybe 10 billion by the year 2050, that is 2050. 87 million each month. 7 million. Think about it. Going on and on. India is now about 1 million, or rather about 9 million, excuse me, lacking probably about 1 million and reaching the 10 million mark. We can't grasp the need, the opportunity of world evangelism. Some would say India is the ripest mission field in the world today. Others might say the former Soviet Union is the ripest mission field in the world today. Others might say Nigeria, Ghana, and Africa would constitute the ripest mission field in the world today. Or maybe Indonesia. Well, these are ripe mission fields, no question about that, and I've been in all of them. Jakarta, Indonesia, it is said, will have a population of 22 million by the year 2020. But it has been emphasized time and again in this lectureship already, and will continue to be emphasized, that the aim of the Lord's church is to preach the gospel to the entire world. It is the whole duty of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. That's the great commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It has been emphasized that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16. And there is no substitute for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. By reading Ezekiel's charge that the Lord gave to him, as in Ezekiel 3 and chapter 33, Ezekiel was told, if you don't warn the wicked, then the blood of the wicked I'll require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked and he doesn't heed that warning, you have done your part. If he heeds that warning, then fine. And that's the reason why the Apostle Paul could say to the elders of the church at Ephesus, as we read in Acts 20, thinking perhaps I'll never preach there again, I am free from the blood of all men, for I have not failed to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I believe today that the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially in America, needs to do more preaching, more teaching on soul winning or carrying the gospel into all parts of the world. I believe we need to begin this kind of teaching with children early in life. And the young people, as was emphasized last night in one of the lessons, as Timothy was taught the word of God from a child, I believe this needs to be taught. And I want you to think with me this afternoon a few things about preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I remember reading once that Thomas Edison said, only about 5% of the people think, and 10% of the people think they think, and the rest of the people would rather die than to think. Well, anyway, it causes us to do some thinking as we hear about these reports. The New Testament congregations were congregations that emphasized carrying the gospel to other parts of the world. The Lord used the persecution that came against the Christians to scatter them, and they went everywhere preaching the gospel of Christ or teaching the gospel. The church at Antioch was established, Antioch in Syria, and it soon became a radiating center, sending Paul out on three great missionary tours or trips. And the church in Thessalonica sounded out the word of the Lord. It was established on Paul's second missionary journey. And so, thank you again, brethren, for the subject of this lectureship. And thanks to Brother Essick and Brother Watson and Brother Ward as elders of this congregation for having this vision and seeing this need. And personally, I'm thankful for the Essicks for their kindness again in the home and their wonderful hospitality. And to Brother Jack for the good work that he's doing here in the work of the church at this place. You know, the Lord has opened doors of opportunity for us in the last few years. To hear Randy talk as he did in the last period about his work and that part of what we used to call the former Soviet Union. You know, that's great. That is wonderful. We have today unparalleled opportunities. Years ago we wondered, how can we get into Russia, the Soviet Union, with Bibles? And now it's open. We can get in. And Bibles can be distributed. And so our mission is missions. We are to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But sometimes the average member of the church maybe is not well informed or doesn't care, but you might ask, you doing mission work? Well, yes, I think we are. Now, let's see, we have Brother, I can't think of his name right now, but Brother so-and-so, he's, I think he's doing some mission work. Well, where is he working? Well, I don't know. I don't know whether it's over there in Russia. It might be... Well, might be in India. I really don't know. That's about how much maybe the average member of the church knows about it. And so let's emphasize what they're doing and where they're living and the work that is taking place. I believe that will help. But my topic has been assigned, and why Brother Jack asked me to preach on this, I don't know, but what to teach in the mission field. Well, when he told me about that, I thought, well, just preach the gospel. That'll take care of that. I've got my sermon's over. Just preach the gospel. The gospel is for all. But, of course, he wanted some other things emphasized in that. When the Apostle Paul went into an area like in Athens, he talked to them about God. He saw the temples and the pagan temples, but their idols. He talked about the true and the living God that made heaven and earth. And him we live and move and have our being. And we are his offspring. But for an example, when he went into another city and went into the place where the Jewish people were meeting on the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, and was given the opportunity, he might a quote from some Old Testament prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah and say, this has been fulfilled. No need to talk to them about the true and the living God. They believe that. But they needed to learn about Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And so he talked about that. And so today, I think when we go to various places to preach, we need to realize the condition of the people and what are their thinking. And what about their background? And what do they need to hear specifically? Certainly we need to preach that God is. And we don't need to use big words and all like that. We just need to make it simple. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. That's a good place. Or every house is built by some man, and he that built all things is God. God is. That's enough. Just make it simple. Years ago, I went to a New Mexico city to conduct a gospel meeting. They'd never seen me, and I'd never seen them. Never met the preacher, but when he met the train, he said, now, Perry, we know how far it is to the moon. And we've had that, and things like that. What we want is the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. I really didn't know what he was talking about, but later I had learned who had been there before, and he really told them about science and the atoms and how far to the moon and things like that. Well, I just began preaching faith, repentance, confession, and baptism and the examples of conversion, and we began to baptize people. We had many additions. People have been baptized, and that's what people need to hear today. The gospel is plain and easy and simple, and we need to make it that way. Jesus Christ is man's Savior, man's only Savior, and we need to emphasize that. The Bible is the inspired Word of God, and the Holy Spirit operates today on the hearts of individuals to bring about conviction and conversion through the power of the Word. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation. And the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs people today through the teaching of the Word of the Lord. Certainly we need to preach today in the mission fields about the New Testament church, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that we today are dedicated to following the teaching of the New Testament and be the Lord's church today in the closing part of this 20th century, just like congregations were in the first century. And if we don't emphasize it, I think we're failing the brethren who have helped us to go to these places to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let them know that we're not a denomination. The Lord's church never has been a denomination. And the true church of our Lord Jesus Christ never will be a denomination. Now, it's possible for congregations to apostatize and depart from the faith and become a denomination and maybe speak of themselves as a denomination among denominations. And when they get to that point, I guess that's exactly what they are. But we cannot afford to compromise the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ and to let them know that we're here to present New Testament Christianity. And the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is not an American church. Now, we have congregations, the Lord's Church in America, but there are congregations everywhere when people read, believe, and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and meet and worship the Lord in harmony with the teaching of the New Testament, whether they be few or many. Whether in the former Soviet Union, Korea, Japan, Thailand, India, or anywhere else. And I think they need to understand that, and that's what we need to emphasize. Definitely, when we go into areas to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Certainly we need to emphasize moral living because there are those who have had a very bad background. And Paul found that element in Corinth as we know something about the history of the Corinthian people. But Paul emphasized that people were to repent. And when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we know that many who had been fornicators and adulterers and homosexuals and all like that had turned and were washed and cleansed and forgiven and pardoned and now were the saints of God. And so individuals can turn and through the grace and goodness and mercy of the Lord, genuine, sincere repentance, they can be forgiven of their sins and added by the Lord to the church. And let's emphasize the fact that the Lord's church is composed of the saved and that the Lord adds the saved to the church. He adds them when they're saved. In the process of being saved, they're added by the Lord to the church, His church, the Lord's church. Acts 2 and verse 47. People do not join the church of Jesus Christ in that proper sense of the word join. They're added to it. They're added to it when they're saved from their sins. So it isn't the choice, what church should I join? The church of our Lord Jesus Christ is composed of the saved. So the point is, you are in sin, you need to be forgiven. Christ is your Savior. Here is what the Lord has said for you to do to receive the forgiveness of His of sin through the shed blood of the Lord by the grace of God. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to His church. You can then wear the name of Christ, the name Christian, and so meet and worship with Christians, read the Bible, study God's Word, grow in grace and in knowledge, live faithful to the end of life's journey, and heaven will be your home. Now, that's what people need to hear. Need to hear something about the love of God to forgive if they truly repent and turn and encourage them in the living of the Christian life, to being faithful in the service of the Lord. Two, I think they need to understand it will take time to grow. You put out a young tree. It takes time for that tree to grow, the large tree. And so the members of the church in foreign countries especially need to be told, well, It takes time to grow, but we'll help you. We'll help one another. We'll study and pray and endeavor to live the Christian life, and you will grow spiritually. Do not become discouraged. And there are a lot of things they'd like to learn from the Bible, but gradually you'll learn God's will. But encourage them to hold on and to be faithful and not to give up. You remember the account in the book of Acts that when some in Antioch of Syria heard the word, the brethren in Jerusalem decided to send Barnabas up there, good old Barnabas, who was so generous, who had land in Cyprus and sold it and gave the money to the apostles. He was an exhorter, an encourager. And Barnabas went to Antioch and he encouraged them to hold on to the Lord and not to give up. And many people were added by the Lord to the church as he continued to work there. And as the number grew and the town was large, he saw the need of having someone to help him. Saul had been converted back in his homeland, and he went over there and sought for him and brought him to Antioch. And while there, you know, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You know that story. But we need people like Barnabas today, and missionaries who will encourage the brethren to hold on and to be faithful. To go into a place and spend a few days and teach the plan of salvation and baptize many people, well, that's great. That's wonderful. The brethren like to hear that report. But unless they encourage the meet and the assemble and the worship and the hold on and remain faithful, they may drift away. Or some denomination may come along and offer them better things, and not knowing, they may go that way. And so that is the need of teaching and encouraging them to remain faithful. Someone that put an article in the paper about rice Christians, and there are certain parts, you know, where the people are very poor and rice is their diet. And so if they're just thinking of material gain, somebody else might come along, some religious body, and offer them a bigger bag of rice if they will just go with them. And so they're going to go with them. Well, what difference does it make? That's the way they think. But we need to emphasize the fact we're here for the salvation of your soul. We will want to help you in any way we can, from a material way, but at the same time spiritually. And so you remain faithful in the work of the Lord. Then two, I like to give to people hope. Hope of heaven. There are certain parts of the world where they don't know whether there's anything beyond this earthly life or not. And so let's give them hope that there is a life beyond. The death does not end all. There'll be the resurrection, the body, and the judgment. But for the faithful ones, heaven, eternal life around the throne of God. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death, no sad farewells, but one eternal day of joy and peace and happiness. Oh, yes. Emphasize that. Brother, I've been preaching since 1929. Since you ask, I thought I'd tell you. And I love to preach. I haven't been doing anything else but preaching since that time. Well, I don't know whether the brethren called it preaching back in those days or not, but I did. But anyway, I want to emphasize that, because I think that is very important. And when we think of work in a mission area, suppose there is no man there present to translate in a worship service on the Lord's Day. Oh, let the local brethren go ahead with it. Maybe he could turn to the New Testament and read, for an example, the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. That's a good sermon. I don't think you could beat it. And the American man wouldn't have to preach. They could have the Lord's Supper in their own language, pray, give, have a worship service. I grew up in the country congregation. We didn't have preaching every Sunday. Now, I know I'm not the only one in this audience that's old enough to be able to say that. You can remember that, can't you? Yeah. Okay. Well, Matt, we had classes. And we came together, a few songs, maybe a reading of scripture, deserving the Lord's Supper, the contribution. Now, once a month when the visiting preacher came, that was a big day. Now, some of the younger ones don't realize that, but that's what we had when I was little, growing up. And so that can be done today in foreign countries. And so they need to be taught to carry on their worship services and to do that. Because this American missionary may not remain there all the time. Probably he won't. And so do not build it around what I'm doing, but I'm telling you what to do and how to carry on the worship. And you do those things. And it would be fine at time for him to keep seated and let them carry on the service. Let them make a little talk. Let them lead the prayer. Let them go ahead. Then when he comes back home to make a report, won't everybody quit coming to the service on Sunday morning saying, well, the preacher's not there, so no need to go. Well, no. No. You go ahead. It's not built around me. Built around obedience to the Lord. And here's what the Lord expects of you to do. Now, I think that needs to be emphasized. Here's what to preach and to teach in mission work. Well, then, too, I think it needs to be emphasized some things about the history of the church. And to let them know that the Lord did predict the falling away, which did come, and during the dark ages, a great apostasy from the principles of New Testament Christianity, and the result of it in Roman Catholicism, finally with the Pope and the changes that were made, and sprinkling for baptism and on like that, or maybe the Greek Orthodox, or maybe the Russian Orthodox Church. The Lord said partners will come, but we're interested in going back to the original and to that which was established by Christ's inspired apostles as recorded in the New Testament. And our purpose is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. So, errors will come today. False teachers may come your way. But you study the Bible, and you know what the Bible teaches. And so do not let anyone take you away from the teaching of the Word of God. Now, we don't teach those things to mission points. First thing you know, we may hear in a few years' time, well, the church no longer exists there. And then brethren will say, well, we put a lot of money into the work, and we sent brother so-and-so over there, and he stayed X number of years, and now it looks like it's all gone. Well, maybe he made a failure in not teaching them properly and not encouraging them to do some things for themselves. Now, sometimes, you know, brethren will ask you for help. Help us to do this and help to do that. And sometimes the best way we can help is not to help at all. That may sound a little funny, but that's right. Let them learn to do some things. Kindly like the young college boy that needed a job, and he went to a businessman to hire out, and the businessman said, well, here, take this broom and sweep the floor. And he said, I'm a college graduate. And he said, well, I'll show you how to do it then. Let them learn, and they will grow thereby. Nehemiah was a great leader. He went to restore, rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Know that story, the Old Testament? Zerubbabel had gone and taken the group and rebuilt the temple. And Ezra had gone to teach the law, but shortly thereafter Nehemiah came because the city needed the walls built around about it. He made the survey overnight. He called the men together. Let's do this. And let's do this. Let us do this. And you remember, they built the wall because the people had a mind to work. Now that's the secret of success. To encourage the people to work. The people had a mind to work. When opposition arose, they stood by it by night. The sword in one hand and the working tool maybe in another. Slept by their work. On the time removed the clothes at times to bathe. But they built the wall. The Lord was with them. The people had a mind to work. So we need to encourage those in foreign lands. You work. You do. If you need a shed, prayer shed as they sometimes call it, in, you get together and get you some straw and poles and build you a shed. Do it yourself. It'll help you. Oh, we poor, we don't have much. You got a little. Use it. Give in the Lord's work. I think that is helping them. And then again, what to preach? Well, I'll tell you what you need to preach. You need to show these younger men especially the need of studying and knowing and being able to get up and to present a lesson from the Word of God. I believe we need to train men to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if we fail to do this, the work may not continue on in the years to come. And I'm glad that so many brethren have had a part in helping to establish men's training schools or special Bible schools, various things in these foreign countries. That is so muchly needed. Otherwise, we will lose them. Then again, we need to teach them about home life and family life and love for husband and wife and love for the children and respect for marriage vows and making your home a good Christian home. And obedience of the children to the parents. Yes, that is very important. Certainly you say it needs to be taught in America, and indeed that is the truth. But at the same time, they need to be taught that in other countries. Go and teach and baptize those you teach, and then teach those you baptize to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And that's the Lord's will, and that's the Lord's will today. Teach them to teach others also. Hand the gospel message on down to others who will be able to teach others also. Let them learn to get up and lead the singing. Let them learn to lead the prayers on Sunday morning and to wait on the Lord's table. Let the women learn how to make the communion bread. And teach them to begin on time. Paul said, let all things be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40. Teach them to give liberally what little they might have to carry on the Lord's work. Then again say, when the missionary leaves, they'll be able to carry on and teach others and establish other congregations as the time continues on. Teaching them to remain faithful unto death. Now, certainly we need to teach congregations over here in America to have a part in carrying the gospel to other parts of the world. And we need to teach them also the need of carrying the gospel to other cities nearby and their own. They may not be able to do much, but they can do a little. Kind of like the elephant and the flea that crossed the bridge over the stream of water. And when they got across on the other side, the flea said to the elephant, "We really did shake that bridge, didn't we?" Well, we may not be able to do much, but we can do a little and say, look what we did. Well, okay. Let them learn about false teachers who may come and various translations that may come. I was over in India some time ago, and some had sent the New International Version. And they were nice copies, so far as the mechanical was concerned. And I pointed to the preacher. I said, well, now, here's a mistake, like over here in Psalms, you know, I was born in sin, born a sinner. And I said, you know, we can't endorse those things. Now, if your preachers want this to private study and by way of comparison, if they feel like that they know that they're going to have some errors in that, well, all right. But otherwise, you just can't recommend it like that. No, not at all. Now, here's something else, too. There are those, especially young men, who will say to you in foreign countries, and I know these missionaries will agree on this, too, help me to go to America to study. I want to go over there and learn and study and then come back. Can you help me? Raise money to get me to do that. I've seen ads in the paper of Abilene Christian University and this and that and the other. Help me to come. Now we have learned that is a very dangerous thing to do because you're going to lose them. That has been tried. I do not encourage anyone to come to any of our Christian schools to study with the idea of going back. First place, they come over here and become Americanized. They've got washing machines and air-conditioned houses to live in and air-conditioned cars to drive, things like that. Then they get to think, I don't believe I want to go back over there. And so they don't. Or if they do go back over there, they get unhappy and they don't want to stay very long. And first thing you know, they're back over here in America. And we've lost some good men who would have been good, faithful men over there. Teach them. Help them to become rooted and grounded in the faith. Help them to teach others also. Now, I could call you the names of many who have said, oh, I'll come over here to school and stay a few years, and then I'll come back and I'll be better prepared. And brethren have taken that, they have swallowed that line, hook and sinker. And where are they now? They're in America. They're in America. That's where they are. What to teach? Well, those are my ideas. Then, two, help us to realize, brethren, that our salaries in America altogether different from their salaries maybe over in their homeland under their conditions. I was told in the Ukraine why school teachers and doctors make about $25 a month on our standard. And I learned that there was a church in Oklahoma that was giving a woman who was helping in the work and sometimes in translating $500 a month. That created a very bad attitude and a bad feeling of members of the church towards her. So a lot of things to think about. All right. Now then, you elders getting ready to send someone to the mission work and mission fields, he should be well grounded in the faith. How does it stand concerning this and that and the other? The Church of Our Lord, just another denomination? What about mechanical instruments of music in the worship? What about cooperating with denominational churches? What about emphasizing baptism for the remission of sins? What about teaching the Lord's law concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage? You need to know those things. Because some have gone from this country of ours, well supported, and get over there. They want to be popular. They want to get a crowd, make reports, but not really preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ as it should be done. I'm glad that opportunities have been opened for the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Now, sometimes we have a brother who will say, well, you know, a lot of people in America are not converted yet. Well, I know that's true, and I imagine that was true in Antioch when they sent out Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey, and then Paul and Silas. But at the same time, the gospel is to go unto all. And so, through Jesus Christ, we must love the people and be interested in their work and for their soul's salvation. We must earnestly pray for the Lord to send forth laborers into the harvest, because that is important. Finally, I'd like to mention, and your wife can help women, and you can help young people especially. Teach them concerning good health and breaking off of bad habits. I mean drinking and smoking, especially. That your body, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, through obedience to the word of the Lord, it's a hard habit to kick, so I've been told, maybe worse than cocaine. But leave off dope, young people, and leave off the sucking of cigarettes. Leave off the drinking of strong drinks. I was in Anchorage, Alaska last March, and I went down to the point where the Valdez boat experience took place. And the vast amount of water that was covered by the oil and the harm that was done, and you've been reading about the lawsuit and the courts and Exxon. You know, the captain of the ship was drinking before he got on, and he turned it over to a young man, and he didn't know the reefs and the rocks, and he hit one of them and split a hole in that large tanker. All the wrecks on the highways, all the harm that is done because of strong drink. It hurts a person internally and externally and eternally unless he repents, because no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God. So teach them. Teach them about health. Teach them the harm. Teach young women health rules. Teach young men. That's a part of your work and what to preach and to teach. Now, we've been talking about church growth in a way. But when we become interested in carrying the gospel to other parts of the world, it is my opinion that it helps the local congregation. It really does. Because it's what the Lord wants done. And when the Lord has assigned us things to do, He has given us the ability to do it. I know there's much money in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ today. I mean with members of the church in the United States of America. We need to appeal to them to give, to lay up treasure in heaven. Well, I know of congregations where brethren have died, leaving to members of the family thousands of dollars. They've used it in sinful ways, some of them not even members of the church. Why didn't they give it in the Lord's work for buying Bibles for India or Russia or some other place? While they lived, they didn't do it. I have known of people who had all wells. That's right. Now, I don't mean in Missouri. I live in Texas. But anyway, had all wells. Ooh, the money that could have been given to Randy. But they didn't do it. Didn't do it. Now, brethren, I told you I wanted you to think. You just think. You just think. Oh, we're really making excuses about mission work. Are we? They need Bibles. Well, we can print Bibles. They need literature. I'm grateful to Randy because he had one of my tracts translated and printed over there. Isn't that wonderful? He's my friend. He's going to get others printed too. And I'm going to have them printed. I'm going to distribute them. I'm going to go back. I just want to scatter. You know, you get on those trams, and they're so crowded and pushing, and you're standing, you can hand them literature, and they'll just reach and grab and reach and grab every way they possibly can. They really do. And they'll read them, too. They'll stand there like this as the tram moves and reading. I've seen it. I know what I'm talking about. If we just had the money to do it, and if I had the time to tell you. Thank you so much.